It's Wednesday. It's Hump Day. And one day until week five begins with the Texans and the Colts. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today, presented by Snickers. Snickers reminds you that you're not you when you're hungry, and Snickers satisfies. Adam Azer with Heath Cummings here on Fantasy Football Today. Jamie will be in very soon. And hello, Heath.
Hello, Adam.
All right. Glad we got that out of the way. So last week I asked you how your waiver wiring went, and you said Dave Richard got everybody. How did last night's go?
Not particularly well.
I am not good
at this waiver game. It seems like in every league where waivers are determined by record, I'm 3-1 or 4-0.
Well, no complaining
there. And then the other leagues, I'm just not very good at, in the fab leagues, I'm not very good at determining what the correct fab percentage is, apparently. Cause I don't seem to have a lot of success in acquiring players in these leagues.
They go for a lot. I mean,
it frustrates me.
It does. It is frustrating. The only thing that you can take solace in is that it's only week five. We got a lot of weeks left. If people are spending all of their fab money now, you're going to be in a pretty good position later in the year to get guys as the bye weeks keep rolling in. Yep. It's kind of interesting. Like in baseball, Heath, I have a fab. And if anybody's unfamiliar with fab, free agent acquisition budget, it's my personal favorite way of acquiring players on waivers. You just bid on them out of a budget. Everybody has the opportunity to get everybody, and whoever bids the highest wins the player. If there's a tie in the bids, it goes to the player with the worst record usually. But I think it's the best way to do it, and there's more strategy to it. Now, in baseball, I'm pretty aggressive with my fab spending early. I don't mind spending maybe like 70% of it by the All-Star break, let's say, and having very little left because people stop playing and you don't end up, you know, needing to bid on guys as often toward the end. Football, I think, is a little bit different. I try to be a bit more balanced. It's more of a week-to-week thing. Like baseball,
I did pick up Andre Johnson and dropped Greg Jennings in one league.
Picked up Andre Johnson for this week? You think it's revenge game?
Revenge game.
You really going to start him, though?
In that particular league, I am, because I think I have three wide receivers on bye.
Okay. And yesterday you were like, well, the Panthers are on bye, so nobody's got wide receiver on bye.
Well, apparently I did, because the Vikings are on bye, and I had Mike Wallace on that team. And I can't remember who else I had.
Landry, Matthews.
Yeah, Matthews.
Yeah. All right. Well, I finally got Antonio Andrews in two leagues. I'm happy about that. Doesn't seem like people are fully buying in. I get it. I'd like to see him get the lion's share of the workload again this week. And I finally got, on purpose, Booby Dixon. So all
How much
is
did
well.
You, did, was that a fab league or not?
No.
I'm looking at our auction league, and there were some really interesting things that happened with the fab in that. I got Alan Hearns for $2.
Jeez, you did?
Jamie picked up Anthony Dixon for 11.
Yeah, maybe he needs a starter this week.
Leonard Hankerson went for 15.
No, and no, he didn't. He went for 22. Am I looking at something else here, Heath?
I'm looking at the auction league that you're not in.
Oh, the auction league. I'm looking at the podcast league. I'm sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, so $2 for Hearns and 15 for Hankerson. I like how you made out there.
Yeah, and there's Hankerson, and I guess in the Haiku League went for 22, which...
Yes, that's a lot.
Is a lot.
That is a lot. And Devontae Adams was dropped for Leonard Hankerson. And I hate doing this because everybody in the league is going to be in on it, but I will be picking up Devontae Adams, or trying. I will be bidding on him. I think he's worth a big bid. I have him as a buy low candidate. Today we're going to talk buy low and sell high, preview the Thursday night game, most added, most traded, grade the trade a little bit later. When Jamie gets in, I got some trivia questions for you. But let's start with a look at the most added list. Alan Hearns, number one. Leonard Hankerson, number two. Cairo Santos, number three.
Of course.
Falcons DST against the Redskins. Do you trust them this week?
They've shown me enough that I believe they are improved. I think their head coach has helped a lot. I can see them being a team that maybe against good offenses gives up a lot of big plays because they seem fairly aggressive. But yes, against Kirk Cousins, I think this is a team you can play.
Gary Barnage, you were avoiding him, Heath. He's number five on the most added list, but he's going up against a team that's number one against tight ends, Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, it's not really surprising. I don't think that he was in the top five of the most added because people do chase points. And, I mean, I picked up Richard Rodgers in the league. So there's plenty of tight ends on buys that you might have to pick up somebody like a Gary Barnage. I've rode the train the last 2 weeks and it was a very fun ride. I don't think it continues this week though.
Most of the most added lists is what we talked about yesterday. But there are a couple guys that still seem a little underowned to me. Kamar Aiken, 10% owned, and waivers will run again tonight. Some leagues do it on Wednesday night, but Aiken, with the four teams on bye, I mean, I think you can make a case that he's worth a look, right? Kamar Aiken?
I think he's a what the heck flex this week.
Going up against Cleveland, they're a terrible secondary. He had a big game last week. Flacco's got no one else.
I like Kamar Aiken.
Hey, I like Jamie Eisenberg. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing well. And Ronnie Hillman, 74% owned.
I spent $31 on Kamar Aiken in our 18-team league.
Damn.
$31.
Out of a $200 budget.
Oh, okay.
That's
bury the lead there.
Well, got to hit you with the headline first.
Yeah, I guess so.
And you dropped Charles Johnson to pick him up.
That's right.
How owned should Ronnie Hillman be?
100%.
Yeah.
He should have been 100% prior to this week.
It's kind of what I was thinking. All right, most dropless, Lance Dunbar. He's out for the year. Rishard Matthews. Jordan Reed.
Was he on the most added list last week?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, but by weeks. You're going to see that happen when you're not a superstar.
Jordan Reed and Matt Jones were dropped. Are those guys that you'd like to hang on? We don't know for a fact that Reed's not playing this week.
No, but I think, you know, a lot of people don't want to carry two tight ends when they have a good roster.
Yeah, I mean, I ran into that issue with Reed and with Ebron. It was kind of tough. I didn't drop either. I feel like those guys could be must-start tight ends most weeks just because of tight ends.
Yeah, I would try very hard until we get a little bit more noise, especially on Reed.
Okay. Colts and Dolphins DSTs were dropped. Marvin Jones was dropped. Are you cool with that? 51% owned?
Not particularly.
Depends what you're looking at. Like, if I'm in need of a Willie Snead, Kamar Aiken,
but those guys you don't think are going to be better than Marvin Jones the rest of the year.
I think it'll be 1 week Marvin Jones, 1 week Kamar Aiken. Look, if Steve Smith's out for 6 weeks, I'll take Kamar Aiken over Marvin Jones.
Okay. Right, right.
So that's kind of where I would ballpark it.
And Steve Johnson was dropped. Could he, if he plays this week, could he have a big game?
His value's about to go on the tank.
With Gates back?
Yeah.
Okay, and Gates is on the most
at least the perceived notion. It's what it should be.
Okay, so Wednesday show, we usually have Stephen O on. He will not be on today. Hopefully next week we'll have Stephen on. So I just want to talk a lot about trade value today. I have some trivia questions. Number one, who leads the NFL in passing yards?
Who leads the NFL? I know who leads in yards per attempt, because that started just quite the war in the office. No,
by all means, who is it?
It's Andy Dalton.
I had a feeling.
10.2 yards per attempt. No quarterback in the last 10 years has had a yards per attempt that high through the first 4 weeks of the season.
Whoa. Who was arguing that with you?
Chris Towers does not like Andy Dalton at all. He greatly dislikes Andy Dalton.
Based on?
The first 4 years of his career.
Okay.
Which one of those years he was the third, number three fantasy quarterback. Yeah. But anyway, leads the league in passing yards. Rivers.
I was going to say Palmer.
It is Philip Rivers. Nice
wow.
work.
Nice.
I find him, I think I said this on Monday, and Jamie, you weren't on the show. I find Philip Rivers to be one of the most baffling fantasy quarterbacks. You know, like, how good is he? Right now he's number seven. He's had two good weeks and two bad weeks.
What I really think helps is the fact that they can't run the ball.
Where have the good weeks and bad weeks come?
They have come against...
No, I don't care against. Where?
Oh, at home?
Home, two on the road. Two good at home, two bad on the road.
Yeah, but also the two home games were better matchups because the road games were at Cincinnati and at Minnesota. Minnesota's seventh best in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, and the Bengals are 11th. Cleveland's obviously terrible. They're 27th in fantasy points allowed, so they give up the sixth most. So you think it's a home-road thing for him?
I mean, this just was coincidental. I just noticed it y'all last night doing start sit for quarterback.
I mean, that's a pretty comfortable place to play quarterback in True. San Diego. There's not,
but the opponents do play into it,
right?
Well, and this is kind of interesting.
Good opponent for him.
Yeah, huh? I actually really like his upcoming schedule. Rivers, he's got Pittsburgh. They're 19th right now in fantasy points allowed. Green Bay, which is good, but Green Bay is 8th in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, but their two home games, Green Bay, they've given up 20 fantasy points or more, and that game is at Lambeau. Then Oakland, Baltimore, Chicago. So Pittsburgh at Green Bay, Oakland, Baltimore, Chicago, one at Baltimore. Then a bye, then Kansas City. So it looks like Rivers has some pretty favorable matchups coming up here.
So we just said that he's been good at home and he's been good against good matchups, and he's playing the Steelers on Monday Night Football this week. He might be my favorite quarterback this week.
And you mentioned, Keith, that he doesn't have a running game. Are you guys buying into Rivers, you know, being a top 10 quarterback this year?
He's been on the cusp each of the last 2 years. The year that Heath mentioned about Andy Dalton, those guys were, I think actually on our site, Heath, they were fourth and fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So Dalton was fourth and Rivers was fifth. And so he's got that upside. If Gates comes back and plays at a, you know, level that we saw last year, with especially with touchdowns, and Allen plays like he did that year, which was his rookie season, then he's got two legit weapons with great compliments in Danny Woodhead and Steve Johnson, and, you know, hopefully Malcolm Floyd's dealing with his concussion. He's okay. So I think the key for him right now, in where he goes from his ceiling could be, is the offensive line, because right now it's a travesty.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other important thing to look at here is the definition of a top 10 quarterback in 2015 is going to be much different than most other years, with all the injuries we've already seen and with Peyton Manning and Drew Brees falling off of a cliff.
And Russell Wilson.
I still think Wilson's going to be. I mean, he's 10th right now in fantasy points. I would guess he's going to finish top 5 still, but he might not.
Not with that offensive line.
He might not.
And he's not running like he was.
But I think there's little doubt that if Rivers stays healthy, he's going to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback.
All right,
rest of
the season.
Yeah, but also, I mean, he's got to deal with Dalton. He's got to deal with Palmer. He's got to deal with, you know, guys that weren't ranked in the top 10.
Tyrod Taylor.
Right, Tyrod Taylor is another one. Derek Carr.
Would you rather have Dalton or Rivers?
I'm still going to take Dalton because that schedule, the next 2 weeks aren't great, and week 16 isn't great. And other than that, I don't know if he plays any good defenses.
I don't think the schedule can get much better than Phillip Rivers, though, honestly.
But we've seen this from him, though. Schedule or not, start off good, tail off.
It's true.
So I would take Dalton. But it's close.
Rivers or Peyton Manning?
Huh?
Rivers or Peyton Manning?
I'd take both of them, Manning.
Man, that's so tough. I'll still stick with Peyton.
All right, next trivia question. Ryan Tannehill leads the NFL in pass attempts. Who is second in pass attempts?
Oh, I had to look away from my spreadsheet that I was looking at real quick. Cause
is it Rivers too?
No,
I don't think it's Rivers.
It's not.
I'm going to guess.
This is game. This is total pass attempts.
Yeah, it's not Brady. I think Brady's number one or number two in per game, but it's total.
I'll say Palmer.
The answer is Matthew Stafford, who has only one game with more than 17 fantasy points in a 6-point per passing touchdown league, but he has faced pretty good competition. Of course, Denver and Seattle, the last two opponents, all four of Stafford's opponents, top 12 in fantasy points allowed against quarterbacks. He actually did better against Minnesota than Rivers or Peyton Manning. So I ask you, maybe after this week when he faces Arizona, who's fourth in fantasy points allowed, is Matthew Stafford a buy low candidate?
No, he's throwing the ball that much and he still hasn't been good? No way.
I'm going to say yes, because the schedule gets much, much better.
Okay.
And Calvin's going to get much better.
Weeks 15 and 16 at New Orleans and home against San Francisco. Could be. You think Calvin's going to get better, huh?
Yeah, he had a touchdown against Kerry Williams where Stafford missed him. He had the touchdown that obviously was punched out, which is a great play by Cam Chancellor. So he's still going to score 10 touchdowns the rest of the way.
It does seem like he's less explosive, though, doesn't it?
He is, but him less explosive is still a big body that's going to get a ton of targets. I mean, targets have been there for him. It's only a matter of time before they start to connect.
Question of the day. Are any of the rookie wide receivers not named Amari Cooper worth owning right now?
No. Maybe Aguilar. I feel like that he's on the cusp of a big game. Could happen this week.
By the way, Dorial Green Beckham was arrested yesterday for an unpaid speeding ticket. And also, thank you to CBSSports.com's Eye on Football blog. September was an arrest-free month for the NFL, the first one since July of 2009.
Wow. So, and there were a lot of concerns, obviously, about DGB and character concerns. I don't know that this really changes. I mean, he didn't pay a speeding ticket from when?
Well, he also got pulled over for going 65 and a 55, I believe.
So he's going 10 miles per hour over the speed limit.
Yeah, I would be in a lot of trouble if I'd be in a lot of trouble if that was that was typical. 10 miles per hour over the limit getting pulled over. And yeah, and then I guess when he got pulled over, he had an unpaid ticket, so I don't think we can come down too hard on him.
One of the rookie receivers we didn't mention that I still think is worth owning is Tyler Lockett.
No way.
Ah.
On the Seahawks?
Yeah.
And how big, how deep
of
a league?
That's made you encouraged about?
Well, he scored 2 touchdowns. I still think he's the best receiver on their team.
He scored 2 receiving touchdowns?
No. But those still count. Still get points for those.
Yeah, well, those in,
I think,
in leagues that reward you.
Are there leagues where you don't get points for the touchdowns even? I know there's leagues where you don't get points for the yards.
No. Oh, yeah, no. But I don't think any of the leagues I play in give special teams touchdowns.
None of our standard scoring on CBS gives you the touchdowns. Mm.
Okay. Well, I guess if you don't get points for return touchdowns or return yards. Mm.
Yeah.
In those leagues, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Hey, reminder, Fantasy Football Today presented by Snickers. Snickers reminds you that you're not you when you're hungry and Snickers satisfies. Time for the big news. Andrew Luck looks like he's going to play, but may not be 100% on Thursday at Houston. In that same game, Vontae Davis may not play, but Dwayne Allen practiced in full. And Texans cornerback Kareem Jackson will play. You know, I was going to say, let's wait to preview the game, but I think we can knock it out pretty easily. So for the Texans, Foster is a top 5 running back. DeAndre Hopkins is a top 7 running back. Jamie, do you care at all about Hopkins if Vontae Davis plays? Would you downgrade him?
No. You saw last week what happens is what my hope was for him coming into the year. Ton of targets. 22 targets last week. So dial that back because I don't think they'll be chasing points in the same fashion. So I'll say 15 targets for him. And he'll be successful in 15 targets.
Okay, now for the Colts, how much faith do you have in Andrew Luck? If you have Luck and, you know, a high-end backup, whether it was Dalton or Palmer or Rivers or something like that, would you consider sitting Andrew Luck?
Well, if it's Rivers, I'm sitting Andrew Luck against the Steelers. I think it becomes a really difficult choice if it's Andy Dalton against the Seahawks.
Not even close for me.
Then you're playing Dalton?
I'm playing Luck.
You're playing Luck?
Yeah.
Okay. No concerns about the shoulder.
No, because if they're going to put him out there, we got a good example of it Sunday. If a team is comfortable enough to play their star quarterback, you see what those star quarterbacks can do. As Drew Brees got 26 fantasy points, fluky or not, with the 80-yard touchdown.
It was fluky though. He got well, how many in regulation? He got like 17 in regulation.
But he still threw the ball 40 times. And yeah. If you tell me Andrew Luck's going to throw the ball 40 times against the Texans, I'm going to take my chances with that.
Yeah, and last year on Thursday night, he threw for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, I believe, against the Texans. All right, that's fine. So
I'd sit him for the only two guys, I guess, that would be have the choice. I'd sit him for Palmer, and I'd sit him for Rivers.
All right, you have Andrew Luck 10th.
Yeah, it's not like he's a slam dunk.
Well, you have Sam Bradford ahead of him.
I would start Bradford, yes.
And Eli Manning?
Yeah, but Eli was drafted as a starter. Those other three, probably not.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, all right, just to be clear, 10th for Jamie, 8th for Dave, and probably even lower than that for Heath, but maybe right around there. So Andrew Luck is not necessarily a must start. Now, the tight end situation, oh, man, this looked like a pretty good matchup for Fleener, but
yep.
Do you avoid them both now?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Frank Gore. How much do you like Frank Gore this week?
Have you seen the Texans stop anybody on the ground yet?
Yes.
Who?
I thought they stopped everybody before
everybody except Devontae Freeman and Teron Ward. They hit Jamal Charles, 16 carries.
Charles scored against him. I'm sorry.
Charles scored, but it was a receiving touchdown.
Yep.
Right. Jonathan Stewart, 17 carries, 62 yards. Doug Martin.
Jonathan Stewart stinks.
Doug Martin, 14 carries, 46 yards.
He stinks too.
All right, but until this is why I was dead wrong about this last week, but I thought you guys were too high on Devontae Freeman. I thought the Texans had a good run defense. got shredded last week, but, you know, what do you expect from Frank Gore this week? Let me ask you that.
I don't expect much from Frank Gore this week. We're talking about a game that's on a Thursday night, so we think it's going to be a little scoring, right?
Usually good for running backs, though. At least that's the way we see it.
Right.
Bad tackling.
Well, that's been the case. I mean, the numbers bear it out. I mean, to me, the way the running backs are this week, I would say Frank Gore is still a very startable number two running back.
I believe you have Gurley and Deion Lewis ahead of him, though, right?
Yep.
But those are all
have,
in the top 12.
And I'd start Freeman over him, too, obviously. Mm-hmm. He should have scored in three straight games. Now, I know he didn't, but he should have.
You're right. You're right. Houston gives up a lot of receiving production to running backs. Could that be a factor in this game with anybody?
Well, Gore just had his best game catching the ball, right?
I don't know off the top of my head. But
pretty sure he had four or five catches.
Okay. Well, that would be his best game. Okay. Well, that's also a good sign then. And which wide receiver do you like better? T.Y. Hilton, who had a monster game, over 200 yards against the Texans on Thursday last year, or Dante Moncrief?
Hilton.
I'm struggling with this because I feel like the Texans have actually been good against number one wide receivers and gotten torched by number twos.
They have been good against number one wide receivers, yes. Torched by number twos, well, last week for sure.
And if we take away the deep ball from Hilton, he's not going to have over 200 yards like he did last year. I'm only taking away the deep ball because we don't, I mean, I guess if we think Andrew Luck's 100%, then you don't have to take the deep ball away. I'm going to say Moncrief.
Are they both must-start guys?
I think so.
I would say Hilton is, Moncrief is.
And if you have three wide receivers starting, Moncrief is.
Without doubt, yeah.
You wouldn't start Kamar Aiken over Moncrief, would you?
No.
No, but it's not that far off.
Okay. And I think that's it for this game. Dave has Houston's DST 12th. I don't know if he was basing that on Hasselbeck. Probably not.
I don't know. I can't trust the Texans' DST.
Yeah. You'd like to think that they're going to step up and play well. It's a big, big game for them, but boy, they've been bad.
If they step up and play well, then it's going to be a big, big game for Arian Foster.
Yeah, so no hesitation with Arian Foster. Get him in your lineup. More news. Eric Ebron, no structural damage in his knee. Andre Ellington expects to play. Starter Sid Ellington. We'll get to that, of course, on Friday, but starter Sid Ellington.
Sit.
Sit.
Seattle hopeful for Marshawn Lynch this week. Meanwhile, Fred Jackson has a high ankle sprain. Those tend to linger. They're at Cincinnati. What a game that could be. Buffalo signed Dan Heron. That can't be good news for Carlos Williams, who's in the concussion protocol, and LeSean McCoy has a hamstring injury.
Shows you how far Trent Richardson has fallen. He can't even get a job over Dan Heron.
Yep.
For the second time in a row.
Yeah. Wow. And that was, he was trying out for that job. And here's an underrated one, guys. Tampa Bay signed Connor Barth, released Kyle Brinza. Brinza was terrible, but he leads the NFL with 12 field goal attempts, not 26. 12 field goal attempts. So any interest in Connor Barth? Does that make any sense?
Band kickers.
And the other thing, Adam, is the Jaguars give up a ton of production to kickers.
Really?
Yep. I believe, I can tell you in a second, I believe they're like second or third in fantasy points allowed to kickers. Actually, when I was doing my rankings on Monday, I left a spot open. I haven't put it in yet for, I just said Tampa Bay kicker. Just because they're so bad.
Yeah, and you knew it wasn't going to be Brinza.
Well, no, he'd already been cut at that point. Okay. They give up the second most fantasy points to opposing kickers.
Ah, there you go. All right.
They've allowed the most field goal attempts to opposing kickers.
Sneaky, sneaky play.
Yep.
So if you haven't been to sportsline.com.
Wear this.
What's that?
He wants to ban kickers. You still got to play one.
You know what? I think there is some strategy to kickers, so I'm not quite in favor of banning them. Heath.
Oh, I'm 100% in favor of them. I've no qualms about it.
All right, works for me. Now, if you haven't been to
the game of football too,
if you haven't been to sportsline.com, you're missing out. Very cool website. Go there right now. sportsline.com/FFT. sportsline.com/FFT. What we've got for you there are picks and projections for this week's NFL games. We've got a combination of computer simulations that you heard about from Stephen O. Expert insights. The experts are doing really well. And we project the stats and the score for every player and every game. So that helps you for fantasy as well, for FanDuel, all good stuff. Sportsline.com/FFT. I really think you should check it out. It is a pay site, but there's a lot of free content. So just go there. You're going to see every pick on all the spreads. They have a B, or C grade. The A picks are the ones that have the most confidence. Those have been doing well. So sportsline.com/FFT. Just give it a shot. We looked at the most added and most dropped list. Going to read some tweets in a second, but right now I want to tell you about FanDuel. We all love fantasy football. There are a couple things, guys, that I don't enjoy. One would be injuries. Nobody likes those. Two, takes me about an hour every Tuesday night to do my waiver claims. How long does it take you guys?
About the same.
Yeah, probably an hour, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's fun, but also kind of annoying. But guess what? With FanDuel, you don't have to worry about either of those things. Injuries, waiver claims, whatever. You get a new lineup every single week. Forget about tough matchups. Forget about the injuries. Forget about the bye weeks. FanDuel's one-week fantasy football. It's a lot of fun, and they're expecting to pay out $2 billion this season. The number one DFS site, FanDuel, paying out $2 billion this season. Go there now, create a lineup, play against your friends, play against total strangers who also love fantasy football, or play against us at FanDuel.com/CBSPod. FanDuel.com/CBSPod for $10. Top 45% double their money. Contest details are right there on the site. And now if you want our special offer, you can sign up for FanDuel. You can use the offer code CBSPod. Again, the offer code is CBSPod. They're going to match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200, and that gets earned as you play. Emails and tweets, some interesting ones I saw yesterday. Jamie Eisenberg said, I think Adam Azer called the Yankees-Astros game a bonanza. Very good, very good. Disappointing.
Did you see one of the replies?
No.
Somebody said, why, who got hurt?
Just Yankees fans. A lot of fun being at that game. Disappointing, but it was cool. First Yankees playoffs game I've been to in my life. It's about time. From Kebzez. Way to forget Le'Veon Bell when naming the top running backs yesterday.
That was a good job.
Oops. I think Bell will also be better than Todd Gurley as we were ranking them. But Jamie, I'll let you get in on that discussion. Where are you ranking Todd Gurley rest of season at running back?
Top 15.
That's what Heath said. I think you guys might be underselling it.
I don't have, I could tell you, the guys I probably would take ahead of him if you really want to wait that long. But I think you still got to buy into that, you know, teams are going to force Nick Foles to throw the ball and just sell out against the run.
I think he's going to have a disappointing week this week. And if he does, and then they have a bye. So if he does, I think I'm going to look to buy low on Todd Gurley if I can.
Why would you think he's going to have a disappointing week this week?
Because nobody runs for 50 yards at the Packers.
Yeah, but they have given up touchdowns to running backs.
Yeah, I mean, that's an X factor. They gave up touchdowns to Charles. Anyone else?
Well, Matt Forte, didn't he score?
I don't know. But home games. I'm only talking about Packers home games. They're much better at home.
Sure. So, yeah, Charles scored. The Seahawks, I don't know if you want to call them a good running team at this point.
They did nothing. But it goes back to last year.
I believe the stat that Chris always references is there's only been two running backs since the start of last season to have more than 50 yards at Lambeau.
Right.
So the last 10 games, there's been two running backs to go over 50
yards. Yeah, but he's not going to have a huge rushing day. So by disappointing in that regard, sure, he's going to be held to a minimum. What is Chris's number? How many games?
It's since the start of last year, so I guess it'd be 10 games.
Okay, that's wrong, because LeSean McCoy had 88 yards rushing. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah,
right, but
and
only
one
two.
And one other guy.
Oh, I'm sorry, only two.
Yeah.
I apologize. Well, have more than 50?
Yeah.
Three have had at least 50. Steven Jackson had 50.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
LeGarrette Blount had 58.
Yeah, but more than 50. He's right about that stat. I've been giving that out.
John Stewart had 55. Matt Asiata had 72.
These are home games?
These are home games for the Packers last year.
Alright. I'm
looking at the game logs right now. In week five, Matt Asiata had 15 for 72. In week seven,
alright, so
Stewart had 14 for 55. I mean, obviously, it's small.
Then let's just call it 60. Yeah, it's 60. Call it 60. Okay. I hope Todd Gurley has a bad game because I would like to have people think he's not going to be that good.
So you're taking the under on 60?
Sure. Yes, I think there's gonna be a lot of passing.
And
I think they're gonna be behind.
What's the fantasy point total for?
Single digits.
In standard leagues?
Yes.
Standard leagues.
8.
You're gonna say 8?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll go 12.
60 and a touchdown?
60 and a touchdown.
Alright, that could definitely happen. Next tweet. Is it safe to drop Rishard Matthews in a 10-team standard league?
Now, when I saw this, I thought they were saying Ryan Matthews. Because Rashard Matthews has two T's.
You're right. Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews. Is it safe to drop him in a 10-team standard league?
I just dropped him in a 12-team league last night for Anthony Dixon.
I guess that's a yes then.
Wow.
What if you're the DeMarco Murray owner?
I mean, I'm stuck with my running backs are Peterson in this league. Peterson. This is a PPR league too. Peterson, Randall, Abdullah, and that's it. So I needed a little bit of depth. And Matthews. I needed some depth.
Would you have dropped Ryan Matthews for Antonio Andrews?
If I did not need anyone this week, yes.
Okay.
I mean, what are you expecting from Matthews? You need DeMarco Murray to be hurt.
But you always use the term lottery ticket, and he still is that, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, it's case specific. You know, if you need to play Antonio Andrews this week or moving forward, then you have to make that decision. I think Antonio Andrews could be good.
Yeah.
So would I have dropped Ryan Matthews for, I mean, obviously Anthony Dixon would be no if I knew Carlos Williams was going to play.
Right.
Right.
But for a 1 week situation, I need Anthony Dixon more so than I need Ryan Matthews.
It's almost like for those lottery tickets and handcuffs to pay off, unless they're handcuffing your starting running back on your team, you need the starter to get hurt early. Cause there's a good chance you're going to have to come to a point where you have to drop the guy. You know?
Yeah. You know, the interesting one is going to be what happens if, present company included, I hope doesn't cringe, but if Jamal Charles gets hurt now that.
Right.
And I'm not going to pronounce the name right, so you probably will.
Charkhandrick?
Charkhandrick. If in fact we don't have Nile Davis, because there's a lot of people. I mean, I dropped Nile Davis a couple leagues last night.
Right.
A lot of people were sitting on Nile Davis, probably let some guys go that they may have wanted to pick up.
Right.
Yeah, I saw Dave drop Nile Davis this morning.
I think it's going to be a miss if Charles does get hurt, because I don't think the offensive line is good enough this year to make a mediocre running back a good fantasy option.
Right. But it'd be a lot of work.
Right.
That's the one thing. At least the thought would be.
Splitting a lot of work between the two of them.
Right.
Shandon from San Diego says, Dear McLean Coolidge.
Wait, stop for 1 second, though, before you read that. What are the best lottery tickets right now?
Ooh.
Because one is starting to come to fruition, and that's Ronnie Hillman, potentially.
Yeah. I mean, I'd still put James Starks up there.
Well, Starks and McKinnon would be the two in terms of long-term injury.
Yeah.
That would have tremendous value. And I guess you have to say D'Angelo Williams.
Oh, Christian Michael.
What about Tevin Coleman?
Are you calling Tevin Coleman now the handcuff? The lottery ticket?
I mean, the guy's had 6 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. Funny, yeah. I think he has to be.
But he's not available, though. I'm just thinking of guys that are available.
Christian Michael?
Christian Michael and Robert Turbin. I think Andrews is not a bad one. I guess Ryan Matthews still, but he's, you know, it's just interesting.
How about wide receivers?
Huh?
Any wide receivers?
That are lottery ticket type guys?
Yeah. You know, I was going to say Hankerson. He's obviously a lot more owned now, but Julio Jones just keeps getting dinged up.
Right.
And he's being so used. You know, he's getting so many targets that I don't know that he's going to miss a lot of time.
We're
going to
get the
Roddy
White squeaky wheel this week.
You think so?
I think we do.
Just because he can play?
Yeah. He's a veteran. He's a leader. They'll give him to him for 1 week at least.
Golden Tate's always a lottery ticket. He's obviously owned.
Yeah.
I wonder if people start dropping Golden Tate.
Maybe.
I'm trying to
think like just some of the third receivers that we haven't seen yet.
Right.
Well, what about Philip Dorsett if T.Y. Hilton does get hurt?
Dorsett's a good one.
Now you gotta have a deep roster to be carrying these guys.
I still think, and if people are dropping Devontae Adams, I would pick him up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Good. I was about to say that because our next email says, "Dear McLean, Coolidge, Dallas, and Hardigan." I had to look this up. This is actually kind of cool. Those are Bruce Willis characters. Can you name them?
You said it so fast. McLean obviously is easy.
McLean, Coolidge.
Yeah.
Is that Pulp Fiction?
Yes. Dallas.
Oh, that's Fifth Element.
Yeah, and Hardigan.
Wow.
Hardigan. Come on, JV, you're killing this.
I don't know Hardigan.
Sin City.
Nah, I never saw it.
All right, he said, I'm curious what you think about dropping Devontae Adams or Nelson Agholor for Tavon Austin in a PPR league.
I would not do it for either one.
There's no way I'd drop Devontae Adams. If I had to start somebody this week, I might drop Agholor for Austin.
You know, this is really, I don't want to say make or break week for Tavon Austin,
Yeah.
If he plays great in this game, you're going to be really excited about it. Because right. then there's signs of hope for the rest of the way. Because, like you said, Adam, there's probably going to be the Rams throwing the ball a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And right now his season high, which was last week, is 7 targets. But to me, it just feels like such fool's gold with him.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think Davante Adams is one of my favorite buy low candidates. One, because I've seen him dropped in 2 of my 6 leagues, so I feel like you can get him for nothing.
Right.
And two, like, I'm telling you, that Monday night, the Monday night game against the Chiefs, he was going to have a huge game. He was covered by that terrible cornerback. Butler, is that, what's his name? Heath?
No, not Butler.
Sorry, what?
And not Peters. And
oh no, it was Peters, wasn't it?
No, Peters is their only good corner.
Peters played well.
The one that James Jones was torching. Cooper, thank you. He was
going
to have a big game.
I tried to block that name out of my memory.
He was going to have a big game, and then he got hurt, and I still think he's the second best receiver on that team when he's healthy. And do you guys agree with me? I really want to get Davante
Adams. I just go back to week one when he led them in targets.
Yeah, man. Totally.
They want him to be good.
There's no way I'm getting him in the podcast league. If I didn't spend that freaking money on Booby Dixon, I would go crazy and pick
up Davante. Just back up for a second. You spent 16 on Dixon. I saw that you dropped Joke Bell. You spent 16 on Dixon. 2 to get Bell back, right? Or
yeah.
7?
Yeah, 2.
2, so that's 18 on that transaction.
Uh-huh.
And then what did you just do to drop Bell?
8. For Antonio Andrews.
So what's the total spent on that one roster spot?
26.
So far. We will be dropping Antonio Andrews for Joique Bell at some point again.
So that's 100. That's
26% of my money.
On that one roster move.
Yeah, stupid.
When you had the right guy all along.
Yeah. Now, that was me not being me. But Are You Not You Player of the Week is presented by Snickers. Snickers reminds you that you're not you when you're hungry, and Snickers satisfies. This week's You're Not You Player was
Julio Jones.
Yes, Heath, Julio Jones was not himself.
And I don't know so much if it wasn't that he wasn't himself or the Texans were so much not themselves that it prevented Julio from getting a shot. Because, I mean, the Texans just got steamrolled in that game. Julio's been a little bit dinged up, so why force the ball to him when you've clearly already won the game? It's not anything I think anyone should be concerned about, and it'd be a really nice bounce back this week, I'm sure.
Would you guys rather have Julio Jones or Eddie Lacy rest of season?
Julio.
Julio.
Julio or Le'Veon Bell?
Le'Veon.
That's tough. I continue to rank Julio in my top 150 ahead of Le'Veon.
Yeah?
So I guess I would say Julio.
Who do you have ahead of Julio? Just Peterson?
It's Gronk Julio for the last 3 weeks.
Gronk Julio. Yeah, huh? Gronk. I like it. That's cool.
We really should do a, maybe just do it on a podcast. Just redraft the first 2 rounds.
First 2 rounds. All right, we'll do it next week.
I think we should bring Will Brinson in to have his final say on what everyone said about him taking Gronk 3rd overall.
Was it 3rd or 4th?
Yeah, I thought it was 3rd. Maybe it was 4th even.
Yeah, I had to defend it on a radio show.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty smart. Okay, and you're satisfying.
You did it 4th. He did it 3rd. You did it 4th.
Yeah.
Right.
Your satisfying performer of the week is brought to you by Snickers. Snickers satisfies. And Heath, this week's satisfying performer was Devontae Freeman. So here's a tweet from @SleazyLobster. Would you sell high on Devontae Freeman?
If that's an option, if someone's presenting the ability for you to sell high on him, then yes. But I don't think selling high is getting mid-range running back 2 value for him. I think selling high is getting mid-range running back 1 value for him.
I got this question via email yesterday. Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
Freeman for Keenan Allen. For a team that's receiver needy. To me, that's a good trade.
Yeah, I guess if you're receiver needy, I feel like you should be able to get a little bit more for a guy that's got 6 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, but Allen's had some monster games too.
He's also done that though without Coleman being healthy.
Right.
And clearly there's going to be a significant downturn when Coleman is healthy.
I don't know if I can say significant.
Well,
I mean, it depends on what he does this
100 total yards and 3 touchdowns in 2 straight weeks.
Right.
That's
there would be a significant turn.
If it goes to 80-1, you're still going to be happy with Freeman.
Right.
But you're talking about the guy. Look, I traded him. We know, we discussed it on the podcast. When I made the deal, Keith's face dropped to the floor when I traded essentially Freeman and 3 players. This is a 2016 league, but I traded Freeman and 3 players that you would never trade. And this was before Victor Cruz got hurt, but it was And it was with also at the time Chris Ivory was dealing with his injury. So it was Freeman, Bilal Powell, Victor Cruz, and Devin Funchess.
One of the most heavily panned trades I've seen in my fantasy football career.
For Jamaal Charles. Now, clearly, I didn't expect Freeman to keep this up for 2 weeks.
Right.
He's been...
So far, you're losing that trade.
So far, I'm losing that trade.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think I'm going to lose it long term.
I wouldn't think so either.
But I also, you know, the other owner got a lot of players that didn't have any players. So I think you have to sort of be smart with what you're trading Devontae Freeman for. The other part of that email was Freeman and somebody else for Antonio Brown and I want to say Carson Palmer. That probably, and I told the owner,
yeah,
it was like Freeman, and it was like three players with Freeman part of it for Brown and I think it was Palmer. And I said, try and get a running back of some sort in return for it.
Right.
But Freeman's now in the discussion for Antonio Brown. I mean, that's just kind of where he is.
Make that deal.
Would you rather have Freeman or Gurley rest of season?
Gurley.
Okay. Some more injuries, news, and notes. Roddy White.
Well, I guess the caveat would be is how long is Coleman out?
Well, he's practicing, so you got to figure he's back sort of
right,
soon.
Right. That's why I would say Gurley now. But if you tell me Coleman's out for another 3 weeks,
right,
I may take Freeman.
All right, injuries, news, and notes. Roddy White told ESPN, quote, I'm not out here just bleeping around just to sit around to just block bleeping people all day. It's not what I want to do.
Sounds like you on Twitter.
What, me?
Yeah.
I never curse.
I was talking about blocking people all day.
Oh, blocking people all day. Yeah, I do that sometimes. It's very, very rewarding. Anyway, yeah, so you think Roddy
Squeaky
White...
Squeaky wheel.
Squeaky wheel. All right. Miami has somehow not fired their defensive coordinator, Kevin Coyle, yet. And I just want to tell people that Brady Quinn on our Roughing the Passer podcast on Monday had an absolutely awesome story. It just talked about his time on the Dolphins, and he even said that the defensive players did not like Kevin Coyle's scheme. And he talked about Joe Philbin, too, so I encourage you to check that out. Detroit lost the starting defensive tackle Tyrone Walker for the year with a broken leg and a dislocated ankle, and their run defense was actually playing pretty well. So that makes them probably a bit less formidable. How about Josh Norman's end zone celebration and Seattle's batted ball out of bounds? Two of the highlights from week four.
I know this is a very vague question, but to both of you, who would you say is the defensive player of the year through the quarter point of the season?
Josh Norman.
You would say Norman?
Yes.
I couldn't really think of anyone else.
I'll tell you, I had the conversation with Pete Prisco, and he was talking about how great Geno Atkins.
Oh, I was going to say Geno Atkins.
He said Geno Atkins. He was talking about Geno Atkins. I said he's the defensive player of the year. He also brought up Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. I brought up Josh Norman. There was one other guy that we said. But it's funny, like, you're not talking about J.J. Watt. You're not talking about Kuechly, obviously, because of his injury.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So Norman was flagged for that even though he was told it was okay.
Told it was okay seems like a stretch to me. He said he told the referee. I don't know. I couldn't really understand what he was saying. But you can't do that. I mean, you can't do that. It was funny.
He's a horse owner. He was riding a horse.
All right, let's speed it up here so we can get to buy low, sell high, and grade the trade. Do you expect Joique Bell against Arizona?
No.
Stevie Johnson or Malcolm Floyd against Pittsburgh?
No.
Jordan Reed at Atlanta?
No.
Pierre Garçon at Atlanta?
Yes.
Devontae Adams against St. Louis?
No.
Tevin Coleman against Washington?
No.
All right, I came up with some buy low, sell high guys. They're more question marks to me. They're not, except for Devontae Adams. I'm pretty adamant about that. Do you think Matt Ryan is a buy low candidate? He's only number 8 overall.
Which is pretty much where he always is, right?
Yeah. One game with more than 20 fantasy points, but he is having a really good year and is second in the league with passing yards. Do you think Matt Ryan is playing better than the fantasy points would indicate?
Yes.
So would you put the buy low tag on him?
I don't believe so, no.
I don't think you could get him. That's the problem. Because with quarterbacks being what they are, you'd have to really present, you'd have to sell high on players to get Matt Ryan low.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's the number 8 fantasy quarterback. He's probably going to finish somewhere between numbers 5 and number 8, and everybody values him as a QB1. So I don't get how it's a buy low.
I had Allen Robinson. I thought, you know, Allen Robinson, he's faced a tough schedule. He's faced Josh Norman and Brent Grimes. He had a good game there. He faced Malcolm Butler. He faced Vontae Davis. He's had 12, 9, and 12 targets in his last three games. This is Allen Robinson. So he must be a buy low. But then I looked at the schedule at Tampa Bay.
That's a good matchup.
Yeah, that is a good matchup. But then Houston, who we just said done pretty well. Then Buffalo, they've done really well against Hilton and Beckham. Not so well against Edelman and Rishard Matthews. Then a bye, then the Jets. So it's like, doesn't seem to be getting that much better. Do you think Allen Robinson is a buy low candidate?
Yes, because I think there's people that are frustrated enough with him that you can get him for almost nothing.
Right, or he's going to get cut. As we saw after week one, he got cut.
Okay. All right. So I had those two guys in Davante Adams. Do you have any buy low candidates that you'd be targeting?
If we're sticking with the wide receiver theme, I'm still buying low on John Brown.
It's going.
I think people are kind of in the same place they are with Allen Robinson, except he hasn't had the one monster game.
Right.
So I like him as a buy low candidate.
I'll say Calvin Johnson again.
Okay. Sell high, guys. I had, you know, with a question mark, Chris Ivory, just because he's faced Cleveland, Indianapolis, and Miami. The Dolphins and the Browns allow the most rushing yards in the NFL. He didn't do very well against Indianapolis. He has a history of injury, but he killed the Browns and he killed the Dolphins, and it doesn't get much better than that. Not to mention, you got him fairly late, so I don't know, like, would you be looking to sell high on Chris Ivory, or do you think he's going to be really good? And he's got Washington and at New England after the bye. Anyway, give me your thoughts on Ivory.
I'd absolutely sell high on Chris Ivory, no question about it.
Really? All right, how come?
Well, he has performed at a higher level than he's really ever performed. He's very injury prone, and he's had great matchups, and now he has bad matchups coming up. It's the perfect recipe for a sell high.
Okay.
The only part of the equation you might be missing is a person in your league believing that he's as good as he's been.
Here's the thing. Chan Gailey has a great history with running backs. Chris Ivory has a good track record going back to last year when he's gotten double digits in carries.
Right.
The Indianapolis game, he was hurt, so take that into consideration. He still gets the Dolphins one more time. I don't know when that is, but he still gets that defense one more time. I think he'll have success running on New England because they'll be committed to the run. That'll be probably more of a nip-and-tuck game than I think people will realize because of the Jets' secondary. So I think if you're selling high, you got to get something very good in return. What we were just talking about, Devontae Freeman. It's got to be in that same range. Now, you're not going to get the same thing back because Freeman is playing as well as anybody in the NFL right now. But you need to command a king's ransom for Chris Ivory because what we've seen from running backs right now, especially as you mentioned, Adam, where you've gotten him in your draft, imagine if you took Bell or Peterson or one of these guys, Charles, that are actually playing well at the top.
Yeah.
And then you still have Ivory as maybe your second or third. That's a great situation.
Right, right. So, okay, just to go back to Gurley, Ivory or Gurley?
Gurley.
I think Gurley's got a higher ceiling, but I think it's closer than you probably think. I may actually go with Ivory there, just because of Chan Gailey alone.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the carries, the double-digit carries, but it, you know, that it was like 12 carries. Now he's getting 20. You know,
right.
There's no Chris Johnson anymore. He got 29 carries against the Dolphins last
week.
Well,
I think the breaking point for his carries was like 16 was what he needed, right? Because he had a lot
12.
Of games.
No, it was 12. It was 12 games of 12 or more carries, like something going into, I mean, I can look it up if you want me to tell you, but he would get you 8 fantasy points.
Oh, yeah, because he had some touchdowns. Okay, I was looking at this. He had a lot of 12, 25, 13 for 29, 13 for 43, but he'd score a touchdown, so it'd be worth it.
He looks a lot better than I thought he was, but it could be the matchups again.
Well, and he looks a lot better than I thought he was is a pretty good start to a sell high conversation.
No, it's a pretty good start to maybe I never realized this guy's, it could be, or it could be maybe I never realized this guy's potential because he didn't get the opportunity.
Yeah.
Or maybe I was wrong, which I am a lot, you know,
we all are.
Yeah. So I could see both sides. It's just running backs are so bad right now. I think I just feel so lousy about so many of my teams in the running back situations that I would have a hard time giving up a guy guaranteed to get a lot of carries.
Well, he's on pace for about 315 carries.
You're not going to get 29. Let's just put it that way.
He's never topped 200 carries.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Tom Brady. So I always bring this up. He had that five-game stretch where he averaged 34 fantasy points per game last year, and that was a big outlier for him. But big difference this year is he's not throwing as much as he did during that stretch. No, I'm sorry. He is throwing a lot more than he did during that stretch, which is a good thing, I think. So during that stretch...
Did you guys ever
yeah, go ahead.
Come up with any trade parameters? I think it was last week you were talking about Larry Fitzgerald and Brady.
We did talk about that, and then we never discussed it again.
Yeah, we should have.
We need to do that.
What about Fitzgerald for Brady, straight up?
Fitzgerald for Brady, straight up. I don't think that's enough.
In a PPR league?
In a two-quarterback league, though.
Two-quarterback PPR league, yeah.
Yeah, not in a two-quarterback PPR league, no.
Well, anyway, I'm not going to go through the stats because I butchered them, but he is throwing more this year, which is a good thing. Is Tom Brady a sell high, or are you buying it?
No, I'm holding.
Okay.
For the most part.
I think you got to buy it.
And finally, my last guy with a question mark. Remember, I'm not saying these are sell highs.
You are screaming it from the rooftops.
Julio Jones.
What?
Who's the number one defensive player in the league right now?
Josh Norman.
He faces him twice in the playoffs, in the fantasy playoffs, weeks 14 and 16.
Who would you take winning that matchup?
I will take Julio Jones, but you might be disappointed with the performance, you know? You might get 12 fantasy points.
Okay, but let me ask you this, Adam. What is it going to take for you to give up Julio Jones? Just give me something. Would you buy low on Calvin and would you take Calvin and Fitzgerald for Julio?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Okay.
I would even probably take Lacy in a standard league.
Would you take Calvin and John Brown?
No. No.
Okay, so it's got to be a guy that's having a monster season so far with a guy that could have a monster season.
Yeah.
Because what I would say to you is, I understand your point looking ahead to the end of the season. I want Julio to get me there.
Look, again, I was just asking. I don't want to be the guy who said sell high on Julio Jones.
No, because that's a very fair point. Now, the thing is, it's how much do you buy into Julio being shut down by anybody? And that's, I guess, the argument. And him getting hurt, because there's
a little bit of a track record. That is a concern of mine.
He's never seen this level of targets before.
Right. Which is a good thing or a bad thing?
I would say it's a good thing.
it could be both.
Yeah.
All right. Any sell highs for you guys?
Can we still say Joseph Randall?
Oh, please. Yes.
Go Spiller. Like, he's not going to get as high as he is right now.
Well, CJ Spiller might not be a bad option as well.
But no, I'd say Joseph Randall. I think he's still a top five running back in fantasy points scored so far this year because of those touchdowns. It's not going to last. He's not been good, but some people might not realize that.
Yeah, and the schedule gets a lot harder for him, for sure. Jamie, for you?
A sell high candidate?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Freeman.
Right.
Okay. All right, cool. And you know, the other thing is you don't have to necessarily sell high. Just like, let's say you have Julio Jones and you need a running
back. Oh, you know who's another good one? Charles Clay.
Okay. Just taking advantage of the matchups and no Watkins last week?
Well, I mean, look, he's at such a high level right now. Two touchdowns in a row, 100-yard game. I mean, he's never done this before. I don't know if it's sustainable, like you said, when Watkins comes back, when they still – look, they haven't had a healthy running back situation yet this year.
Right.
McCoy hasn't been healthy. Right. You don't know if they want to use all these guys.
I'd sell high on Booby Dixon. Actually, I'd probably buy high on him.
I was going to say, you're going to bid high on him.
Yeah. All right, let's grade some trades to finish the show here. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Grade the trade from Bradford in Delaware.
Oh, one more guy. Sell high on Chris Johnson now.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
getting Ellington back.
Again, that's one I'm not sure what the market is. But
well, if you're looking at a team that's the Peterson owner that's on a bye week, that... Maybe, what if you had Peterson, McCoy,
right,
or Peterson and Carlos Williams? You know, you've been riding those two guys. CJ Anderson, owner. They'd probably take Chris Johnson right now. They can get Hillman.
All right. Bradford wants us the greatest trade. He says, dear DJ, Stephanie, and Michelle. You old folks know that one, right?
Yeah, Full House.
Okay. I need a running back this week because of buys. In PPR, I traded Delanie Walker and Ryan Matthews to the DeMarco Murray owner for Giovanni Bernard. Delanie Walker and Ryan Matthews.
A+.
Yep.
That's a nice little bi-week trade there.
It's not just a bi-week trade. That's a you are better for the rest of the season trade.
Sure. From Jason. I get Ingram. I give up Calvin Johnson. Standard scoring.
Travis Benjamin, Marvin Cooks, and Martavis Bryant are now your wide receivers.
Brandon Cooks.
D.
Yeah. What was running backs, did I say?
DeMarco and Yeldon.
Yeah, you needed the receiver more than you did the running backs. I'll say D too.
Whoa!
Not an F.
That's the first time you've given a grade that's not an A or an F that I've been since I've been here.
Sorry.
From Josh in Odenton, Maryland. Hey, Sam, Cliff, and Norm.
Cheers.
Oh yeah, great show.
Did I tell you my funny thing related to this?
No.
Adam. So I went to a showing of Zombieland with Jesse in Miami, and shockingly enough, my wife and I were walking into the theater just as the movie was starting. I know that's very odd that I would show up something not on time. And so walk in, and they had seats reserved for family members. And so I see Jesse. He kind of looks back and sees us walking in. And so sit in the same aisle as Jesse, and I step over somebody, and it's Woody Harrelson. So after the movie, we're walking out. We're kind of being escorted off to a private area. And he walks out, I don't know if people realize how tall he is. Woody Harrelson's a pretty tall guy.
Okay.
So he comes walking out. Obviously, Jesse's not that tall, and I'm obviously not that tall. So he's like, hey, man, where can we go get a drink around here? And so I was, like, texting some buddies, and one happened to be David Ganos, who used to work here. And he goes, oh, man, you missed such a good opportunity. You should have replied back to him where everybody knows your name.
That would have been really good.
Yes.
That would have been good. Cool guy?
Oh, he's great, yeah. He actually, the night before, I was flying back. This was a Monday night. The night before, I was flying back from when we used to do the show in New York.
Yeah.
And it was late. It was raining. I landed in Fort Lauderdale in South Beach. So if anybody knows South Florida, that's south of Fort Lauderdale. I live in Boca, which is north. I was exhausted. So my mom, who was still alive at the time, my grandmother, and my wife were with Jesse in South Beach having dinner with Woody Harrelson. And I was like, oh, I'm too tired. I'm going to go home. And I didn't know that Woody was there.
Oh, man.
So I missed it. And if you want to, you have a quick time for a quick joke?
Yeah.
So Jesse says, do you mind if, to the table, do you mind if my friend joins us for dinner? So my grandmother didn't hear, and my wife and my mom heard him say Woody Harrelson. So my mom starts putting on like makeup, and they're at like a really nice restaurant in South Beach. So my grandmother doesn't hear, and so he comes in, and he was very respectful, leans over, says hello to my mom, kisses her on the cheek. Leans over my grandmother, kissing her cheek, leans over to kiss my mom on the cheek, and my grandmother leans over to my wife and goes, oh my God, that's Woody Harrelson. She had no idea that he was coming.
That's hilarious.
That's great.
Yeah.
By the way, for those of you who don't know, if you're new listeners, Jesse Eisenberg is Jamie's cousin.
Yes.
And I feel less bad about Jamie being late, because if he's late for Jesse, then you just can't take it personally now, can you?
No.
Alright, here's the trade that we're grading from Josh. I give Latavius Murray, I get Dez Bryant.
That's risky. And you've already got Julio.
If he's back though, like the reports say, by week 7, that's an A.
Yeah, I know, but do you really believe those reports?
No.
I want to.
I'm going C-.
See, this guy has Ivory, Foster, Devontae Freeman, Abdullah, and Lamar Miller, so I'm giving it an A.
Yeah, if that's the stable of running backs, then yes, that's an A.
Context is important there. This one's from Alex. Hello, Bart, Brett, and Aaron.
Those would be Packers.
Yes, they would. 10-team full-point PPR league. Give up Joseph Randall and Eric Decker. PPR, Randall and Decker, get Justin Forsett.
I think that's fine. I'd give it a B.
Joseph Randall and Decker and getting Forsett. So are we still, is it considered still buying low on Forsett at this point?
I think so.
Well, if it only cost you Joseph Randall, it is.
Well, but Decker's been good.
Decker's been good.
Decker has been good. I'm assuming Decker's his fifth wide receiver. I mean, we don't have any context on this one, but
right.
I don't think most people have been starting Decker.
I'll say that's a B+.
Okay. And finally, Ryan in Gainesville. Ugh. Grade the trade.
I mean, I'm sorry that we didn't talk about a cane yet today. You know what's funny?
Oh, we have.
Big Cane 1 and Big Cane 2 is certainly appropriate for these two guys, our two co-hosts on the show. So I see Adam sends out the email yesterday of what the show is about. Did you see the first two names in the show, in the email list?
I don't remember.
Alan Hearns and Leonard Hankerson.
Hey.
I'd buy that.
Hey. It's not my fault that they are the two most added players in fantasy right now.
Well, they are the two most added players now, but you didn't know that was going to be the case.
Well,
yesterday.
I mean, I had a feeling. How
they're the two
am I?
Most added because you put them at the top of the show yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that must have been it.
So I see that come across, and I'm like, I mean, the two of you, it's like, it's unreal.
But I dropped Duke Johnson and Leonard Hankerson.
It doesn't
Hankerson
matter what
last
you
week.
Did. It's a matter that, you know, you get criticized for the Giants thing, which I think is silly because this is an NFL show that we have to talk about one of the 32 teams. That's just part of, I think, what the nature of what we do is.
Yeah.
And the Giants tend to play teams in the NFL, so you have to talk about when they play other teams.
Right.
That, I think, is silly that you get criticized for that. However, you do not have to profess your love for every single player that has ever played at the University of Miami.
Please.
Is still at the University of Miami.
Please. I was so down on Duke Johnson in the preseason.
Yes, because that's just masking your love.
I don't know how you can say I was so down on Duke Johnson and then say you dropped him. Because if you were down on him, nobody else that was down on Duke Johnson ever drafted him.
In the preseason, I picked him up. I don't even know. Oh, I must have drafted him in that league. I drafted Crowell for, okay, forget it. Grade the trade. Grade the trade. Give up Giovanni Bernard. Get Eli Manning. This is the Roethlisberger.
So wait, no. Don't moan when somebody's from Gainesville.
All right.
I mean, just because you don't like the school, I don't moan every time that you and Dave sit there and you know what, over every Hurricanes player.
I would hope you don't mode when we do that. Anyway, give up Giovanni Bernard, get Eli Manning in a PPR league.
You say F?
Yep.
Even if you need a quarterback?
You've got to be able to get a better quarterback for Gio Bernard than Eli Manning, I think.
I mean, you're underrating Eli Manning.
And I'm not so sure. I mean, unless it's a two-team, it's a 10-team league. Pick up somebody off waivers.
Let me tell you about the Giants.
Pick up somebody off waivers would be just as good as Eli Manning.
Now, if this was Duke Johnson for Eli Manning, that would be a tough situation.
Hey, Giants can't run the ball, Heath.
What's that?
Giants can't run the ball.
Able to run the ball, and Eli Manning's QB 12 so far.
Well, he had one terrible game. He's been 23 and 24 fantasy points the last three.
He's only 12th, really, with the last 3 weeks?
Well, and
I'm surprised by that.
He might be 11th.
I'm surprised by that. Well, who'd you take rest of the season? Tyrod Taylor or Eli Manning?
Eli Manning. Or Tyrod Taylor.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No.
How?
Yeah.
They don't even have Cruz yet.
Because he's coming soon. He'll be ready anytime.
I mean, look, you might get 7 games out of him. That's still something.
Is that your over-under?
Yeah, I think he'll be back by week 9, yes.
Oh, you think once he comes back, he's going to play the rest of the season?
I am so mad at myself for falling for those late
you did.
Training camp.
You were
reports.
All over it.
So mad at myself.
All right. We gotta go. Giants hour will continue tomorrow with the starter six. Cade's hour continues
if
tomorrow.
The Giants ever drafted a legit skill player from the Hurricanes?
Whew. Jeremy Shockey.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine now.
Do you have any idea how many Hurricanes the Giants draft? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Okay. They're not gonna do.
What?
Yeah, I could become Big Cane 3.
No, I thought we were getting ready to do the Dave Richard spreadsheet voice reading off the history of Giants Hurricane draft picks.
There was Michael Barrow and Jesse Armstead and Eric Flowers and Kenny Phillips.
If I only had a way to cut this out.
And then they signed Antro Roll and John Beeson. It's really perfect for me. Sure. And we gotta go.
There we go.
Everybody's gonna hate me if I don't end the show right now, so I apologize for the last 2 minutes. I was goaded into that.
Are you about to end the show? So if I curse, you can edit out easily.
Bye. Okay.